91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. We want to thank you for joining us for the next 30 minutes right here on 91.5 FM. You can catch us here at 8:30 of a morning. If you like what you hear, you can listen again at 5 o'clock. There's another option, and that is over on WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. And so we would encourage you, if you've got friends, encourage them to give us a listen as we talk about the Word of God. So thank you for all that you do. We want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air. They have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. I think it's actually getting closer to 50 now. I think it's probably in the 48 or 49 year range. They work in residential settings. They also work in light commercial settings, and they provide emergency service when necessary. They provide you, or will strive to provide you, with the best service possible and at an affordable price. So write this number down before you find yourself in need of their services. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Then when you need their services, you can call them at 321-632-9538. That is Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, and they are a blessing from God to the community of Brevard County so that you and I can control the temperature and the atmosphere where we are at, because it's pretty much mandatory if you're going to live in Florida. You know, I tell people, you know, winter in Florida has a different name other places. It's called spring. But it doesn't matter if, you know, you're used to it 80 and then you get up one morning and it's 30. You want to be able to change that as quickly as possible. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So we are in Matthew chapter 24, and we are talking about the alternative to being controlled or impacted in a negative manner, or giving up because of troubles or tribulation, or the fact that you've got people who are trying to do like Jezebel did to Elijah and threatening to kill believers, or hating you because of the name of Jesus. And we see that happening, that there are people who are offended. You and I don't have to live offended. We don't have to be controlled in a negative manner just because other people are betraying one another, or false prophets are rising up and deceiving many, or lawlessness is abounding and the love of many is growing cold. We looked at the other option yesterday, and that is enduring to the end and we shall be saved. Verse number 14 describes the consequence. It describes the effect, the impact that is going to be made by people who just refuse to give up, who refuse to take no for an answer when it comes to people having the privilege of hearing about Jesus and making him their Lord and Savior. So the consequence of enduring to the end is not just saying, well, I hung in there, The goal is the gospel of the kingdom being preached. That's why I'm here, is the gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached. In America, fewer and fewer people are being raised in environments or cultures where they have heard about Jesus in the proper biblical context, that he is the Son of the living God, that he is God. Too many people only know him as an expression of language that they really don't know what they're saying. You know, when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do," he meant that. When Stephen was martyred and he said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," they meant that. People oftentimes they use exclamations, they use God in a manner in which he was never meant to be used. And you and I, we need to make sure that the gospel is being preached. So the word gospel means good news. I like to take words that have a religious connotation and put it in a simple term so that people can understand it. It's one of the things that I specifically try to accomplish. So there are all sorts of people with opinions about just about everything that you can imagine. And some people, they believe that if your opinion isn't their opinion, then you're either calling them a bad person or you're a bad person. So I like to take the word and break it down to something that is easy for people to understand, and that is this: me preaching to you isn't about bad news, it's about good news. The reality is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The reality is that the wages of sin is death. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there are some people who don't ever like to talk about the present reality. They just like to talk about the good news. Well, The good news is only good news because it solves the spiritual complexities that we face. And by that I mean, without Jesus, we live in a spiritually impossible situation for us to ever deal with in a victorious manner. The only way to have spiritual victory is through the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. The good news is that we have an option. We don't have to live controlled by sin. The good news is we have a Savior who has come to bring a different kingdom. A different kingdom. I don't remember everything that has ever happened to me in my life. Thank the Lord for not being able to remember certain things. But I do remember when I was in Bible college that our verse for my senior year was 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to emphasize one of those early phrases in verse number 9. You are a royal priesthood. That means it's a kingdom. We don't have royalty in America because we don't have a monarchy. But spiritually, the kingdom of God is not the form of government that we experience here in America. It's a kingdom. It is an eternal kingdom. It is a royal kingdom. It is a holy kingdom. And so you and I need to understand that the gospel is not the popular opinion of the day. Instead, the kingdom of God is one of the things that needs to be preached. So, you know, it's kind of like Father's Day, in that if you had a father figure in your life who did a less than perfect job, well, we all have done that. I mean, remarkably did a less than perfect job. If you had a really bad childhood experience that the father figure of your life contributed mightily to that negative experience, then you're going to have a really challenging time understanding your Heavenly Father in a positive context. Instead, you tend to portray or project all of the negative experiences of your earthly father onto your Heavenly Father, and that's backwards. God does not have those same insufficiencies. He is your perfect Heavenly Father. Well, in that same mindset, you can see the negative implications of having a monarchy, and if you're not careful, you can project those into the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that those things are not the same. They're designed to give us a picture, a concept, but God is infinitely greater than any other monarchy that you have ever seen before. His is a theocracy. It's a theocratic monarchy, and it's not with a man at the helm. It is God at the helm. And a lot of people really struggle with that. In a monarchy, everything tends to work from the ground up. And what I mean by that is it tends to be the people at the lower echelons of society that end up supporting the monarch. In the kingdom of God, it's from the top down. Your very breath comes from God. The connectivity of your neural pathways comes from God. The fact you're alive is a gift from God. The fact that you've got people in your life is a blessing from God. Everything, eternal life, is a blessing from God. It is not a reward for existing. It is a reward for humbling yourself, asking God to forgive you, and to be the Lord of your life. And so you and I, we have the privilege of preaching not just the gospel, not just the good news, but the gospel of the kingdom. So if you, here's something that's kind of funny, in my mind anyway. If you start talking too much about the good news of Jesus Christ, then people start getting nervous and think that you're compromising the Word of God. I had a person one time, they came to our church for a few services. Their child was a friend of one of my children, and they were talking about this one particular preacher, and they said, you know, I've been so beaten up in this world that one of the reasons that I like this particular preacher is because instead of beating me up, he's proclaiming good news. They weren't saying that as a condemnation of me. They were just sharing their insights. Look, this world is a very difficult place. It is a, the characteristics of society in verses 9 through 12 are anything but spiritually beautiful. It is a hostile place for believers. You and I need to realize that this world is not our home. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and we're not quitting until we get there, and our goal is to take as many people with us as we possibly can. And that requires the preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. And so a kingdom is not the same as a democratic republic. You know, a democratic republic is what America is. A lot of people think we're a democracy. Well, that would mean that all of us, all 330 plus million of us, would be asked to vote on whether or not to pay the electric bill. That would be democracy. That's an unworkable solution. It might work well on a small scale, but sooner or later, you've got to like it, love it, hate it, whatever, you've got to elect representatives who are supposed to go there and represent you. The problem is, too many times they get elected and they go and represent anything and everything but what you want. Okay? And so a democratic republic says, okay, well, it's not the number of votes of the masses, but it's the number of the votes of the representatives. And, you know, now, you know, we have discussions in America. I mean, every election there's lawsuits and court rulings and, you know, can you do this? And can, you know, all sorts of different points of contention. And here's the reality. The masses can be wrong. If you don't believe me, just go back and look in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you will see that there were 12 spies that were sent into the land. Two of them came back with a positive report that said, hey, you're not going to believe the land that God has given to us, the fortified cities that he's given to us, the harvest of produce that is in the land. We have been sent by God to a land flowing with milk and honey, and he brought us out of Egypt. He is going to bring us in. The other 10 spies came back and said, you are not going to believe how big the giants are. And they sowed fear into the lives of people to the point that the entire community refused to go in except for Joshua and Caleb. Don't ever forget about the goodness of your God. When society is responding in mass in an unbiblical or an ungodly way, you continue to fix your eyes on Jesus and say, they may respond that way, but I'm still going to respond according to the word of God. And when you respond that way, their disobedience will not be able to deprive you of the blessing that God has for your obedience. The blessing of the kingdom will be preached. It will be proclaimed. It is a proclamation. It is a preaching that has a message. There's not a Sunday morning when I get up to preach that there's not a message that has an objective that people have the opportunity to respond to. How shall they hear without a preacher? So you and I, we continue to endure to the end, not just so that we will be saved, but so that the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached everywhere. 2022 was our best year of missions giving we've ever had. Every year we set a goal and we rarely hit it. It's not that we intentionally miss it. It's that we tend to set our missions giving goal to where it's going to take a miracle in order for us to achieve that. And so I believe our missions goal for 2022 was somewhere in the $70,000 to $75,000 range, and we gave over $69,000 to missions. We came within just a few hundred dollars of doing something we had never done before. Is it because we didn't have anything else to do with the money? No, it's not that. It's that people need to hear the gospel of the kingdom, and it must be preached. It must be preached here on the radio. It must be preached in our pulpits. It must be preached in communities around the world. It must be lived out in our neighborhoods. You know, preaching is more than just using your mouth. It is a life that corresponds with the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It is the good news. It's a realistic message. It doesn't hide from people or conceal from people the fact that they are in desperate need of a Savior, lest they perish forever and spend an eternity apart from God. They need to know that that's the current reality. You know, it wouldn't do anybody any good if you were on a ship that was sinking out in the ocean and the captain came on the loudspeaker and said, "Isn't this just the most fantastic cruise you've ever been on?" If those people were sinking and the captain did not make them aware of the fact that they were sinking and to where they had the opportunity to get to the lifeboat that would save their life, he might be making them feel comfortable, but he would be deceiving them as to the reality of their condition. And then when panic set in, they would have different and different attitude towards that captain than they did when they thought that everything was going just wonderfully. The message is we're sinners, but Jesus died to save us. And if any will come unto him and confess their sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. So it's not just the preaching, it is the message that you're proclaiming as well. And that message and your lifestyle needs to line up. I've got sources of influence in society that have so disconnected themselves from what I would consider to be a trusted source of information, that if they told me the truth, I wouldn't believe it because of how alien they are from truth. I wouldn't believe it unless it was from a source that was trusted. So today, I want you and I to understand that the seriousness of the message requires us to be people who endure, but it also means that we have to live out that message on a regular basis. So that when people look at you, say, well, you don't believe that, because if you did believe that, you would live differently than you do. I heard something while I was homebound for a while, and it verified what a position that I have. It was describing something that is toxic, and it's like, that's why I don't want that stuff in my body, is because it's not healthy. And so I was like, oh, well, that's kind of an interesting source of information. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. In all the world. Now, when you look at the scope of the project, which is global, there's only one thing that I can really say, and that is, that scope is too big for one individual. It's too big for me. It's too big for Merit Assembly of God. But it's not too big for Jesus, and it's not too big for the church. It's too big for the Assemblies of God, but it's not too big for all of the churches that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and he died on the cross to forgive people of their sins. We just need to all get into our prayer closet, find out, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be a part of taking the good news of the kingdom on a global scale? For some, that global scale might begin with your neighbor across the street. For some, it may be a family member in your own household. Don't get so fixated on that which is so far away that you miss the opportunity that God has put right at your doorstep. God bless you. We'll touch on this again tomorrow, but I pray that you have a great and glorious day, and that the good news of the kingdom will be preached in your life. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
The pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mark.